righteous men whose age will be not to defend some ancient creed, but to live out the laws of Christ in every thought and word and deed. God send us men alert and quick, His lofty precepts to translate, until the laws of Christ become the laws and habits of the state.
Welcome to God Send Us Men Ministries with evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart. We challenge you to open your Bible and follow along with today's message. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. To contact us or read and listen to more teachings online for free, visit GodSendUsMen.com. And now, here is evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for tuning into the message this morning. I'd like to remind you again, please remember my two daughters, Chrissy and Taylor, in your prayers. They're both getting very close to their due dates, which happens to be on the same day. And this will be Taylor's second baby and Chrissy's first baby. And they both had better weeks this past week, but their time is getting near. And we'd ask that you'd keep both of them in your prayers as the time is getting very close. Additionally, Ron's health issues are continuing. He informed me that he had another surgery yesterday, and he's not doing particularly well, and he's asked for prayer. So please remember Ron in your prayers. As a result of last week's message, there are some things that I want to report to you that I hope will be an encouragement to all of you. I realize that the faith once delivered to the saints from Genesis through Revelation, and that which we've tried to make our own. I realize it's not a popular faith. People are not flocking to the faith by the thousands. And while people are not running to the faith that Jesus Christ delivered, I mean, on the other hand, and charismaniacs and the like, I mean, they seem to be growing like crazy. Well, numbers do not make right, just like might does not make right. And while I do not believe it always has to be this way, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 13 for just a minute. And in the rare case of our studies, we're going to look at a principle found beginning in verse 18 as opposed to what we normally do, which is at least try to read several verses ahead and several verses behind. But look at verse 18, the words of Christ. Then said he, "Unto what is the kingdom of God like, and whereunto shall I resemble it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast into his garden, and it grew and waxed a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it." And again he said, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, "Lord, are there few that be saved?" And he said unto them, "Strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able." Now, before I started this text, I said it doesn't always have to be this way. Excuse me, and I was specifically referring to the principle, as stated a little differently than this passage, that few there be that find it. We see from the words of Christ that the kingdom as a mustard seed was very small. And we see it as the beginning of a loaf of bread, small. But then we see Jesus saying when it's finished, it becomes a large tree. But what we must never lose sight of is the fact that the Bible says that the kingdom of God is from generation to generation. It's a pattern. It's a generational pattern. The kingdom of God can be small, as in very few, and it can be large, as in the full-grown tree, but it's generational. I think most people get confused by this in that they think, you know, the kingdom began with Christ in the first century, and then it's continued to grow and grow and grow ever since. Well, that's not the case. That's clearly not the case. There's excuse me again, there's no evidence of that. It's generational. In our generation, we're back to square one, back to the starting point. We're in the part where few that be that find it. It's generational. When one generation finds the kingdom of God, and the next generation doesn't just get to inherit it, they must build on what the previous generation found regarding the kingdom of God. And if they don't, they lose. It's not salvation by osmosis. It's not salvation because your dad had it or your mom had it. The kingdom of God comes when individuals in each generation embrace the kingdom of God, turn from the kingdom / governance of men, and begin to live accordingly. If a generation refuses the kingdom government of Christ, then it starts all over again. The kingdom of God is from generation to generation, but it's only found in those who have embraced Jesus the Christ as their king, as their only lawgiver, as their only judge. And if not, the cycle, the pattern, goes back to square one. We're living in a time of nearly complete deception. Nearly every single person living today in this world has fallen for deceptions in basically every single thing they could possibly believe. The deception is beyond description, but it is still our duty to do all that we can to fight against the deceptions, because ultimately, the war of deception is waged for the purpose of preventing people from finding the true gospel of the kingdom government of God. And the time in which we live, we're back to square one. Few there be that find it. And our job is not an easy one. You know, Jesus Christ himself ultimately ended up with a handful of disciples, and even those closest to him denied him. We're in the beginning stages of the kingdom government of God in our generation. We're in the mustard seed stage. So keep on preaching. We keep on teaching. Even though we're not seeing thousands and thousands to come to truth, on what I hope would be an encouraging note, and you've heard me say this before, when the first century saints turned the world upside down, it was a relatively short period of time. Okay, listen to what I found out about the mustard seed. I searched, how long does it take for a mustard seed to grow, and here was an answer. If the temperature conditions are conducive to growth, a mustard plant will begin to bud 5 weeks after the seedlings have appeared, and the plant will reach full bloom 7 to 10 days later. Brown or oriental varieties of mustard seed tend to have higher yields compared to yellow mustard. So again, if the conditions are conducive to growth, we're again looking at a potential relatively short period of time. I mean, I want you to listen to this email that came in this week. I'm not going to take the liberty to say who sent it, so I don't think they'll mind me reading part of it. Good morning. As I've been doing every morning for the past 7 months, I start my day studying your past messages. I'm so close being done with them. Thank you for all the amazing insight. Sometime I'd love to chat with you on the phone and tell you a little bit about our journey and how we have been on a journey for an ecclesia to be a part of. Again, thank you for your study and the way you can teach it. I've gone through several people trying to learn and find huge flaws, not in your teachings. Sorry if this rambles. Lots of positive thoughts I'm trying to convey here and not go on too long, end quote. Well, I'm not going to tell you that emails come in like this every single day, but I will tell you that they're coming in with more and more frequency. Our work, mine and yours, is not falling on deaf ears. We're in the beginning stages of the kingdom government of Christ in our generation, and few there be that find it. I believe, though, have to have this hope that there could be major breakthroughs at any time. The truth could gain steam like an out-of-control freight train or like a snowball. You know, when I began the Water series two years ago, roughly, I knew it was not going to be popular, and I also suspected that it could be the beginning of the end of this ministry. But I didn't know if there would be one person other than my wife who had heard this for years. My wife had heard this for years, but I didn't know there'd be anyone other than her who would understand. obviously, it wasn't the end of the ministry, because truth is going to prevail in the end. And we are reaching people with the truth. But obviously, or absolutely, I should say, we lost listeners and supporters of the ministry. And that's okay. It's sad, but it's okay. But you know what? Over the last year or so, I've begun hearing back from some of those who rejected the clear Bible truth that the application of physical water to the flesh is not only not for today, but it is sin to apply physical water to the flesh for spiritual reasons. And if someone is trusting in the fact that they have applied physical water to their flesh as having anything to do with their salvation, they've missed it badly, and they need to repent of this grievous sin, whether purposely or through ignorance. I had a dear brother write to me at the end of the message last week, and even though there are limitations with email, I mean, you could just tell that he was going through quite the struggle, because he was one who had placed his trust in the application of physical water to the flesh and as having something to do with his salvation. And I'll just tell you this, he was also one that wrote to me, I don't know, a year or two ago, and said, I'm not listening to you anymore, but he's back. Well, what was particularly exciting to me was, and I've seen this so many times when people write to me, I mean, they'll phrase their question in a way that they already know the answer, but they're just looking for confirmation. For instance, so, quote, baptism was for the old covenant, right? Well, yes, just like the blood. In the new covenant world, we do not participate in animal sacrifices, and we do not participate in the physical water washings that were also part of the process of remission of sins. I've titled this message this morning, Equipping the Saints - Who is Israel? Because for the first part of this message, I'm going to answer some more questions regarding physical water in the new covenant. And then hopefully we'll have time. We may not. But if we do, we'll continue with the key of David in helping us identify who is Israel. Equipping the saints in helping believers refute the false teaching of the application of physical water to the flesh as a necessity in the new covenant world. As most of you know, those that demand physical H2O water, they use two particular passages of Scripture to claim that Jesus' Great Commission, as it's commonly referred to, demanded the application of physical water to the flesh. And they cite Mark 16:16 and Matthew 28:19-20 as their texts that supposedly prove their point. Well, I want you to turn to Mark chapter 16 this morning, and let's begin taking completely out of context, just like our accusers do, beginning with verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is, quote, baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. There have been, for about 30 years or so now, two main questions that come to my mind when examining these two verses and in responding to people who ask me about them. Number one, which, quote, baptized is Jesus talking about in verse 16? The book of Ephesians is as clear on this issue as any passage we can find in our Bibles. There is one, quote, baptism. Of all the, quote, baptisms that are found in the Bible, and friends, you know this as well as I do, for those who demand the application of physical water to the flesh as have anything to do with salvation, those people have never known that there were many, quote, washings in the Old Covenant law. And when they do stumble over Hebrews chapter 9, verse 10, which speaks of the diverse washings, they never teach that the word washings there is from the Greek baptismos. If they knew it, and if they taught that, then when they get to the book of Ephesians 1, quote, baptism, that would throw all sorts of monkey wrenches into their teachings. Instead, just like everything else that has come from, quote, church, which is a shallow, carnal understanding of the word, their arguments concerning the one quote baptism of Ephesians 4:5, one Lord, one faith, one quote baptism, end up with arguments about whether or not someone is supposed to sprinkle water, pour water, or fully dunk a body in physical H2O water, and there is never a discussion as to any other quote baptism that's found in the Bible, because for these people, the only quote baptism is a church water ritual demonstrated in the Catholic quote church, the Mormon quote church, the Baptist quote church, the Charismaniac quote church, the Methodist quote church, the Presbyterian quote church, the Sodomite Metropolitan quote church of Los Angeles that quote baptizes in the name of the risen King, or the quote churches of Christ. Now, in addition to the quote churches, let's not by any means leave out the fact that Judaism requires full body immersion in a mikveh, in a pool of physical H2O water, the Jewish equivalent of a church baptistry, for salvation. Without a full body water immersion, according to Judaism, a man cannot be converted. From the words of the Jews themselves, quote, and the link is in the notes. O hope of Israel, the one who saves in the moment of suffering, from Jeremiah 14:8. The prophet Jeremiah refers to the Creator as Mikvah Israel, the hope of Israel, your Savior in difficult times. In the Hebrew of the Holy Scriptures, the word mikveh is translated as hope. The word mikveh also means the ritual bath used for spiritual purification. Rabbi Najman explains that by immersing oneself in the waters of mikveh, one receives the residue of divine light that follows the experience of self-annulment. Those are the waters of salvation, of sufferings and afflictions, which cleanse us of all impurities. When one cancels oneself by canceling egoism and personal desire, the personal self putting the divine will first. This is how all difficulties, anguish, and worries disappear, our Creator taking control. In the same way as in the mikveh, the ritual bath, we immerse ourselves in the waters and let go of everything material. Since the mikveh to be valid, it is necessary to do the immersion completely detached from any clothing or material. Let's get rid of our ego so that we can rise to divine intervention, the hope of Israel. In Hebrew, the word immersion, tevela, have the same letters as the word nullification, because by immersing oneself in the mikveh, one annuls all the judgments against him, all the evil spirits. And in that link, there's a picture of a Sephardic community mikveh from the 12th century. End quote. Now, friends, that is, quote, church doctrine decorated and shrouded in Jew speak. Maybe I've never said it as forcefully as it should be said, but here goes. If you believe in full body immersion in physical water for spiritual reasons, you are a Jew. Full body immersion in physical water, sprinkling of physical water, pouring of physical water, began in Old Covenant Israel. And today it continues in Judaism in the name of Moses, and is part of their denial that Jesus Christ was the living God, that Jesus Christ was the hope of Israel that Jeremiah was prophesying in Jeremiah 17:13. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. Jesus Christ was that fountain of living waters. It is Jesus Christ that we are to be immersed into, not physical H2O water like a Christ-hating Jew believes. Never, not once ever, is the Mark 10 and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with ever brought into the discussion when the Ephesians 4:5 one quote baptism verse is discussed. That to me is one of the strangest things I've ever seen of the many things that comes from that thing called quote church. So when someone asks me about Mark 16:16, the first thing I ask is, quote, which baptized is Jesus talking about? Is he talking about the old covenant, quote, baptisms that were commanded in the law God gave Moses? Well, no, because like I said, none of them even know there were, quote, baptisms in the law God gave Moses. Was it John the Washer's, quote, baptism? Well, many, including the late Pete Peters, who taught that the washing of John was an example for today. Okay, the link is in the notes. I put it there. Just go and you can hear for yourself. Was it the, quote, baptism of the Holy Ghost, which John himself said would be replacing his physical water, quote, baptism? Which, quote, baptism is Jesus referring to in Mark 16:16? I know which one it was, and friends, I'm telling you, you better know which one he was talking about, because baptisma is an absolute requirement for salvation, and if you're trusting in the wrong baptisma, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I can't excuse it because so many have fallen for it. But if the baptisma that you have your trust in is not the one that Jesus was talking about in Mark 16, you are lost. The second question I ask about these verses is this. Knowing that the people that are asking about this believe that Jesus is referring to a church water ritual, please, 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 if this is Jesus demanding the application of physical water to the flesh, take your Bible and show me exactly what this looks like. This is so important. This is vital. Your salvation depends on this. What does it look like? We must get this right. We must do this. Whatever the application of physical water to the flesh as demanded by Jesus, surely God caused it to be written down in His Word what it looks like. How is it done? What type of water is to be used? What words are supposed to be spoken? Does a man, quote, baptize himself, or does someone else need to, quote, baptize him? Are there witnesses? If physical water, quote, baptism is required in the new covenant, then we surely should be able to find somewhere in the Bible that tells us exactly what we need to do to make sure we're doing it right. And for more, much more, on this, I would refer any of you who have not yet heard or read the Water series that I began 2 years ago to go and listen or read that series. Salvation depends on which baptisma wherewithal we have been baptizo with. Before we do something that I've never done in a message, I want you to turn to their other, quote, pet passage that they take out of context. And let's read Matthew 28:18-19. I've got another question I want to ask about this, beginning with verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, quote, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now, for those of you who have, and the numbers are dwindling, thank God, who are listening to these messages, but are still trying to reconcile this, and it's because you still do not understand baptisma. You still have not shred the image that comes to mind every time you hear any variation of the sound babto, that being a, quote, church water ritual. This is what I want to ask you. If you claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ and you believe this, quote, Great Commission was given to you and it is describing baptisma in physical water in your lifetime as a professing Christian, how many people have you, quote, baptized in physical water? If this is the, quote, Great Commission, and it was said to you, and it refers to physical H2O water, how many times have you obeyed this command? How many times have you, quote, baptized someone like you claim you are commanded? Friends, the word, quote, baptized does not always mean water. In fact, as I've proved over and over and over in the water series, the word, quote, baptized, babto, baptisma, baptismos, baptizo, rarely means water. It can, of course it can, and does, but it's rare. Look at verse 19 again. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Immersing, washing, dunking, burying, sprinkling, pouring, cleansing, placing into, placing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. It's placing someone in the name of. It doesn't say water. Nowhere in the text does it say water. It doesn't say baptizing them in water. It says in the name of, baptizing them in the name of. Baptizing means placing into. It doesn't always mean water. It rarely means water. Some preachers out there insist on replacing the word baptize with immerse. Okay, great. That's great. Hopefully by now, we all should know clearly that the words, quote, baptize and baptism should not even be in our Bibles. The translators of the KJV put it in writing in the beginning of the original KJV of 1611. They had no authority to do so, but they did it anyway. So change the word to immerse. It's closer than, quote, baptize. It should rather be wash, just like the translators said, but immerse is way closer than, quote, baptize. Here's the definition of immerse from Webster's 1828 dictionary. To put under water or other fluid, to plunge, to dip, to sink or cover deep, to cover wholly, as to be immersed in a wood, not water. To plunge, to overwhelm, to involve, to engage deeply, as to immerse in business or cares. It is possible for a man to have a lively hope in another life and yet be deeply immersed in the enjoyment of this. End quote. Even the word immerse, yes, it can mean water, but does not always mean water. It means to be overwhelmed with, to be involved with, to deeply engage. Go ye therefore and teach all nations that they are to be overwhelmed in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, that they're to be fully covered by, to be deeply engaged with, fully immersed in the name of, in the authority of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. There's absolutely no mention of physical water in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. There's no mention of physical water in Mark 16, 16. When we see physical water, or what clearly seems to be physical water in the text, as in John's washings, as what could possibly be argued in Acts 2, when they were going in and out of the temple, when they were keeping the law God gave Moses, but in the name of, in the authority of Jesus Christ, instead of in the name of or in the authority of Moses, when we see physical water, then by all means, let's believe it that way and understand that it was still in place for Judahites who were still in the Old Covenant while the temple was still standing in Jerusalem. But when there is no physical water in the text, it is wrong. It's the pinnacle of eisegesis to automatically insert physical water into the text. That is wrong. And by doing so, it is changing the gospel. And it's damning men's souls to eternity without God and His Son. I'm telling you, friends, if you have placed your trust in physical water, in any shape or form, as having any spiritual value in your life, you need to repent and get right with God. This is no different than sacrificing animals. It is no different than sprinkling physical blood. It's serious. It's serious business. You've been deceived by the quote church and by the Jews if you still believe in the application of physical water to the flesh for any spiritual reason. Turn again, please, to Mark chapter 10 this morning. I'm going to do something I've never done in all my years of preaching this book. I want you to begin reading with me in verse 17, speaking of Jesus. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" As we noted again from last week, Jesus is being asked the most important question that people need an answer to. And Jesus begins answering this question. And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good. There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not. honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these things have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. Clearly, in answering this man's question, there is absolutely no reference to any physical water being applied to this man's flesh. Now, there would have been today, I'll guarantee you that. Ask that question of virtually any, quote, church man in America today, and there will be a mention of physical water, either as a requirement or as a, quote, step of obedience, an outward sign of inward grace, end quote. Verse 22. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about and said unto his disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answereth again and said unto them, Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, Who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, With men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or fathers or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the world to come eternal life. But many that are first shall be last and last first. And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them, and they were amazed, and as they followed, they were afraid. And he took again the 12, and he began to tell them what things should happen unto him, saying, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and to the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. And they shall mock him, and shall scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him, and the third day he shall rise again. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said unto them, What would ye that I should do for you? They said unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit one on thy right hand, and the other on thy left hand in thy glory. Again, as I did last week, okay, I'm going to read these next verses the way they're found in a modern English Bible. It's not correct. It is not correct to use the words baptized and baptism in our Bibles. But to help people understand the point that I'm trying to make today, I'm going to leave them in the text. Verse 38. And remembering, we're talking about salvation. We're talking about entering into the kingdom of God. We're talking about eternal life. But Jesus said unto them, You know not what you ask. Can you drink of the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, We can. And Jesus said unto them, Ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized withal shall you be baptized. In these two verses, the words baptized and baptism appear together more than in any other place in the entire Bible. And they're from the same Greek words where baptized and baptism refer to physical water, as in John the Washer's, quote, baptism. But Jesus is clearly, and anyone who would say otherwise is lying. They're being deceitful. And in regards to these two verses of Scripture, if they insert water, physical water here, it is for the purpose of deception, purposeful deception. Jesus is clearly not talking about physical H2O in these verses where the words baptized and baptism are used. He's talking about his persecution, his death, burial, and resurrection. It's not a church water ritual. And friends, as much as I care about Ted Weiland, and I do, I care deeply for Ted Weiland. If you go to his website and read his book, Everything You Wanted to Know About Baptism and More, you will find nothing, not a single word about this, quote, baptism that Jesus Christ is talking about here in Mark 10, 38 through 39. Why? Because Jesus is not referring to a church water ritual. And sadly, most people, including Ted, can only think of something that pertains to physical H2O water whenever they hear any variation of the sound babto. The words here in these two verses are, quote, baptized and, quote, baptism. They come from the same Greek words as when it does refer to water. But in these two verses, where the words are found more times than any other place in the Bible, it's not using the words, quote, baptized and, quote, baptism in reference to water, physical water. It is absolutely not biblically correct to have a discussion regarding the, quote, one baptism of Ephesians 4 and leave this, quote, baptism out of the discussion. This is a, quote, baptism. And when you tell people there's only one, quote, baptism in the new covenant, and then, friends, this one had better be in the discussion, because this is the one that Jesus Christ himself defined. This is the one that Jesus Christ himself told his disciples, and with the baptism that I am baptized with all shall you be baptized. Three times in one verse. Three times, baptism, baptized, baptized. And we find no importance to include this in a discussion of the one baptism of Ephesians chapter 4. Six times in two verses, the Lord Jesus uses the words, quote, baptized, baptism, baptized, baptized. And remember, this is in answering the original question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Keep going. Keep your eyes glued to the Word of God as we continue. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. But when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, you know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever you will be the chiefest shall be the servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And then he charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Then Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Chapter 11. And when they came nigh to Jerusalem unto Bethphage of Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and said unto them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him, and bring him. And if any man say unto you, why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way, and found the colt tied by the door without a place where two ways met, and they loose him. And certain of them that stood there stood unto them, what do ye loosing the colt? And they said unto him, even as Jesus had commanded. and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him. And he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strawed them in the way. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem, into the temple. And when he looked round about upon all things, And now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast them out that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? But ye have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and chief priests heard it, and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. And when even was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering saith to them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you of your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. And they come again to Jerusalem, and as he was walking in the temple, there come to him the chief priests and the scribes and the elders, and say unto him, By what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority to do these things? We know, don't we? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I will ask you of one question, and answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The, quote, baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? Answer me. And they reasoned with themselves, saying, If we shall say from heaven, he will say, Why then did you not believe him? But if we shall say of men, they feared the people, for all men counted John that he was a prophet indeed. And they answered and said unto Jesus, We cannot tell. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things. Mark 12. And he began to speak unto them by parables. A certain man planted a vineyard, and set a hedge about it, and digged a place for the wine fat, and built a tower, and let it out to husbandmen, and went into a far country. And at the season he sent to the husbandmen a servant, that he might receive from the husbandmen of the fruit of the vineyard. And they caught him, and beat him, and sent him away empty. And again he sent unto them another servant, and at him they cast stones, and wounded him in the head, and sent him away shamefully handled. And again he sent another, and him they killed, and many others, beating some and killing some. Having yet therefore one son, his well-beloved, he sent him also last, saying to them, They will reverence my son. But those husbandmen said among themselves, This is the heir, come, let us kill him, and the inheritance shall be ours. And they took him and killed him and cast him out of the vineyard. What shall therefore the Lord of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the husbandmen, and will give the vineyard unto others. And have ye not read this scripture, The stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner? This was the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. And they sought to lay hold on him, but feared the people, for they knew that he had spoken the parable against them, and they left him and went their way. And they sent unto him certain of the Pharisees and of the Herodians to catch him in his words. And when they were come, they said unto him, Master, we know that thou art true and carest for no man, for thou regardest not the person of men, but teachest the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? Shall we give or shall we not give? But he, knowing their hypocrisy, said unto them, Why tempt ye me? Bring me a penny that I may see it. And they brought it, and he saith unto them, Whose is this image and superscription? And they said unto him, Caesar's. And Jesus answering said unto them, Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And they marveled at him. Then come unto him the Sadducees, when they say there is no resurrection, and asked him, saying, Master Moses wrote unto us, if a man's brother die and leave his wife behind, and leave no children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were seven brethren, And the first took a wife, and dying left no seed. And the second took her and died, neither left he any seed. And the third likewise. And the seven had her, and left no seed. Last of all, the woman died also. In the resurrection thereof, when they shall rise, whose wife shall be of them? For the seven had her to wife. And Jesus answering said unto them, Do you not therefore err, because you know not the scriptures, neither the power of God? For when they shall rise from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven. And as touching the dead, that they rise, have you not read in the book of Moses, how in the bush God spake unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob? He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Ye therefore do greatly err. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, Which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, The first of all commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding, with all the soul and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any question. And Jesus answered and said, while he taught in the temple, How say they that the scribes that Christ is the son of David? For David himself said by the Holy Ghost, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. David therefore himself calleth him Lord, and whence is he then his son? And the common people heard him gladly. And he said unto them in his doctrine, Beware the scribes which love to go in long clothing, and love salutations in the marketplaces, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and the uppermost rooms at feasts, which devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. These shall receive greater damnation. And Jesus sat over against the treasury. And behold, how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto his disciples and said unto them, Verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Mark 13. And as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. And Jesus answering said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? And Jesus answering them began to say, Take heed lest any man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And when you shall hear wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled, for such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in diverse places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows. But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils. And in the synagogues ye shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my name's sake, for a testimony against them. Remember Mark 10. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye. For it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. But when ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand, then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains. And let him that is on the housetop not go down into the house, neither enter therein to take anything out of his house. And let him that is in the field not turn back again for to take up his garment. But woe to them that are with child and them that give suck in those days. And pray ye that your flight be not in the winter. For in those days shall be affliction such as was not from the beginning of the creation which God created in this time, neither shall be. And except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be shortened. But for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he has shortened the days. And then if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, here is he is there, believe him not. For false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. But take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all things. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. And the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then shall he send his angels, and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is near. So ye in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house, and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commandeth the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Chapter 14. And after 2 days was the feast of the Passover, and of unleavened bread. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence. And have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, you may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. This was a gospel. Speaking of his burial. And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went unto the chief priests to betray him unto them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. And he sought how he might conveniently betray him. And the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said unto him, where wilt thou that we go and prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover? And he sendeth forth two of his disciples and said to them, go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water, follow him. And wheresoever he shall go in, say ye to the goodman of the house, the master saith, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared, there make ready for us. And his disciples went forth and came into the city, and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And in the evening he cometh with the 12, and as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me. And they began to be sorrowful, and said unto him one by one, is it I? And another said, is it I? And he answered and said unto them, it is one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goeth, as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread, and blessed it, and brake it, and gave to them, and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they drank all of it. And he said unto them, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said unto them, all ye that be offended because of me, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee that this day, even in this night before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. And they came to a place which is named Gethsemane. And he saith to his disciples, sit ye here while I pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. And saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went a little forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest thou not watch? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, neither wist what they to answer him. And he cometh a third time and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. And immediately while he yet spake, cometh Judas, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. And he that betrayed him had given them a token, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Take him and lead him away safely. And as soon as he was come, he goeth straightway to him and saith, Master, Master, and kissed him. And they laid their hands on him and took him. And one of them that stood by drew a sword and smote a servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus answered and said to them, are you come out as against a thief with swords and with staves to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and you took me not. But the scriptures must be fulfilled. And they all forsook him and fled. And there followed him a certain young man having a linen cloth cast about his naked body, and the young men laid hold on him. And he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. And they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. And Peter followed him afar off, even unto the palace of the high priest. And he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. And the chief priests and all the council sought for witness against Jesus to put him to death, and found none. For many bear false witness against him, but their witness agreed not together. And there arose certain and false brethren and bear false witness against him, saying, we heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. But neither did so their witness agree together. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But he held his peace and answered nothing. Again the high priest asked him and said unto him, art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes and saith, What need we any further witnesses? Ye have heard the blasphemy. What think ye? And they all condemned him to be guilty of death. And some began to spit on him and to cover his face and to buffet him and to say unto him, prophesy. And the servants did strike him with the palms of their hands. And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, and thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. And a maid saw him again and began to say to them that stood by, this is one of them. And he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, surely thou art one of them. But for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom you speak. And the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. Mark 15. And straightway in the morning the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, art thou the king of the Jews? And he answering said unto them, thou sayest it. And the chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. And Pilate asked him again, saying, answerest thou nothing? Behold, how many things they witness against thee. But Jesus answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. Now at that feast he released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered them, saying, will ye that I release unto you the king of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priests had delivered for him for envy. But the chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said again unto them, what will ye then that I shall do unto him whom ye call the king of the Jews? And they cried out again, crucify him. Then Pilate said unto them, why, what evil hath he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, crucify him. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium. And they called together the whole band. And they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it about his head and began to salute him, hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him on the head with a reed and did spit upon him, and bowing their knees, worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. And they compel one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. And they bring him unto the place of Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of a skull. And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them what every man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the superscription of his accusation was written over the king of the Jews. And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests mocking and said among themselves with the scribes, he saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ, the King of Israel, now descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. And they that were crucified with him reviled him. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at that ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of them that stood by when they heard it said, behold, he calleth Elias. And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink, saying, let alone, let us see whether Elias will come to take him down. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And when the centurion which stood against, over against him saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, truly this man was the Son of God. There were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James the Less, and of Joses, and Salome, who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered unto him, and many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem. And now when the even was come, because it was the preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled if he were already dead. And calling unto him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead. And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. And he bought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in the linen and laid him in a sepulcher which was hewn out of a rock and rolled a stone under the door of the sepulcher. and Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joses, behold where he was laid, Mark 16. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he said to them, "Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee, that ye shall see him, and he said unto you." And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Friends, we just read every word that was recorded concerning Jesus Christ from the time that he explained baptized and baptism from Mark chapter 10 until he said it again in Mark chapter 16. Someone please, please tell me where the subject changed from Mark chapter 10, where he was talking about the baptism of his death. Where did it change through Mark 16? Between Mark 10 and Mark 16, the only other, quote, baptism that Jesus spoke of was the baptism of John the Washer. Clearly, an old covenant washing that Jesus was using against the Pharisees, because they were denying that Jesus had Jesus' authority had come from God. From the baptism and baptized of Mark 10 through the baptized and baptism of Mark 16, Jesus is talking about his baptism, the baptism of his death, burial, and resurrection, not his baptism by John the Washer, which was in fulfillment of the law requirements for all 30-year-old men who were entering the service of the temple. To say that Mark 16:16 is referring to any other, quote, baptized than what Jesus told his disciples in Mark 10 is one of the most reckless things I've ever seen done to the words of Jesus Christ. It changes the gospel. It turns the gospel into something that it was never intended to be. To insert physical H2O water back into Jesus, quote, baptized and baptism of Mark 10 is the greatest example of taking the Bible out of context that there ever was. Jesus made us free from the law of sin and death. And to go back to the physical requirements of water and blood is like a dog returning to its vomit. It's making the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ a meaningless fable that is powerless to save the lost. Oh, friends, if you've placed your trust in anything physical, whether physical water, physical blood, physical signs and wonders, a physical temple, behold, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to repent and be placed into, immersed into the name, the authority of Jesus Christ the King, where we live and move and have our being.
You've been listening to God Send Us Men Ministries with evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart. To contact us or to read and listen to more teachings online for free, visit GodSendUsMen.com.